Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. In this most important conversation with Dr. Sebastian Gorka about the nature of the enemy we're facing, the challenge that it poses, truly the existential challenge that it poses of a kind arguably not seen since the darkest days of the Cold War, when communism without a god was at our throats. We now have communism with a god and that same role. Seb, you were talking a bit about Dabiq and Inspire magazine and the various sophisticated efforts being made by some of the most prominent, notably the Islamic State, of these Islamic jihadists. I wondered if you would just talk about the message that they are communicating to their followers or potential recruits about this being the final jihad and the implications of it.
Yes, this is the most important thing about ISIS, and this is why ISIS is not a JV team, but the most dangerous jihadi organization I've ever seen. ISIS follows the jihadi ideology, but it's added its own twist. Because it's captured Syria and Iraq, or territory in both of those countries, it has a different message on social media when it's recruiting. That territory in Arabic is called Al-Sham. Al-Sham is the Megiddo for Islam. It is the site of the last war before judgment. As a result, ISIS has a very seductive message. They are saying to the young Muslims around the world, to that Pakistani immigrant in San Bernardino, to that man of Afghan descent in Florida, look where we are. We have captured what you know is the land of final jihad before Judgment Day. If you ever wanted to be a jihadi, you better come and fight jihad now or kill the infidel in your homeland, because there will be no more jihads. We have begun the last war with the infidel. And that's how they've managed to recruit 86,000 jihadis in just a matter of a couple of years.
Seb, so given all that you've said about the complexion of the enemy, the final jihadist impulse behind what they're doing at the moment, the combination of the violent jihad and the civilization jihad of the Muslim Brotherhood, the infrastructure and all the rest. What is it you commend to us as the way to win this war and to defeat jihad, the subject of your new book?
Well, this is the law after defeating jihad. So, number one, we have to get political correctness out of the threat assessment. Number two, we have to assist our Sunni allies, who really are on the front line of this war, to destroy ISIS and similar groups. That's, you know, President Sisi of Egypt, King Abdullah of Jordan. They have to be the face of this war with our assistance, but, you know, after we rebuilt all the relationships that President Obama has destroyed in the last 7 years. And then lastly, we have to, with our Muslim allies, destroy the ideology. We have to delegitimize the brand of global jihad, just as President Reagan did with communism during the end of the Cold War. And beyond that, I really would like all of your listeners to appreciate they are on the front line of this war. After San Bernardino, after Orlando, after Boston, we must be cognizant of the fact that it isn't just people who wear the cloth of the Republic or carry a badge or a gun who are on the front line. It is everybody. And as a result, you have a responsibility to educate yourself and educate the ones around you to the severity of the threat and how this is truly an existential danger that we must all to come together to defeat.
Mm. There's so much there. And let's just unpack a bit further in the remaining time we have, Seb Gorka. One, I guess I would just ask you, clearly there is a problem, isn't there, with some of our Sunni allies who are themselves imbued with this ideology and enable it in their own ways, including, I think it's fair to say, to some extent at least, some of their businessmen, some of their royals, perhaps, aiding the Islamic State, if only because they see it as kind of a bulwark against the Shiites who are on the march out of Iran.
Yeah, this is a significant problem. It's actually part of it's a chapter in my book, and Saudi Arabia and Qatar are very much part of the problem. Saudi Arabia, after the siege of Mecca in 1979, signed a devil's pact with the jihadists that assisted them in the export of their ideology around the world. And Qatar, who is meant to be a partner of the United States, is known to be assisting the ISIS forces. And until recently, Turkey, a NATO nation, was allowing free passage of ISIS fighters across its territory into Syria simply because it saw them as fellow co-religionists and individuals who would attack the Kurds. So yes, this is, you know, there are Sunnis and there are Sunnis, and there are those who have stood steadfastly by us in the past, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, and the Emiratis, and there are those who have been more often a part of the problem as opposed to the solution. So we must be able to discriminate and rely upon those who are reliable, Frank.
Except very quickly, you mentioned Turkey helping the Islamic State. They say that the Islamic State has now engaged in this murderous attack against Turks in Istanbul at the airport. Is that just a fight over, Game of Thrones, the fight over who will wear the crown of the caliphate?
It's a little bit more complicated in this case, because unfortunately Erdogan is his own kind of Muslim brother. He's his own kind of fundamentalist. He's not organically connected, but he shares the same kind of atavistic 7th century vision of a great Islam that is fundamental. And as a result, he has been sympathetic to the cause of jihadists until, of course, I think recent events. And now he's having to reassess the cost of what he has done, because it has been under his leadership of Turkey that the incredible important example of Atatürk and a secular Islamic state has been undermined and basically dismantled. So Turkey could have been a key to the answer. It has gone rogue, and hopefully recent events will lead them to reassess their position when it comes to jihadism and to Sharia.
Well, hope is not a strategy, as you say, but it certainly is something that we have to be clear-eyed about. Seb Gorka, let me just close by asking you, and we only have about 2 minutes left. You talked about George Kennan and the role that he played early in the Cold War, not so good later on, but early on in helping think about a strategy for defeating communism. I'm very proud of what President Reagan did, and I had a small role in helping him with National Security Decision Directive 75. Are we at the point where we have an effective strategy in the wings, at least, if not now being used, to counter, to help all of us who take very much to heart your point that we are in the front lines? We have to win this war against the jihad, or we will be destroyed by it.
Well, from my experience, I haven't seen that strategy make itself apparent inside the U.S. government. We are astrategic, and we deny the nature of the threat, and that's why I wrote Jihad, because I really used George Kennan's long telegram and NSC 68 as my template. We have to have an analysis of who the enemy is, a truthful one, what their strategy is, what they wish to achieve. And then we have to have a plan, 68 or 75. We have to have that strategic plan on how to defeat them. And if we have a clear-eyed analysis and a pragmatic response, we could defeat this threat relatively rapidly, but only if we start by jettisoning political correctness from our threat assessment. So the Cold War, for me, is the template, and if we have leadership, we should be able to win this war, Frank.
Seb Gorka, it is the case. I think we need to bring some of those successful Cold War strategies back, and to bring all instruments of national power to bear. Your exhortations in that regard, and on so many others, Seb, in your writings and in your public appearances, your continuous loop at Fox, among other places, and not least, of course, in your new book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You're rendering a real public service. We appreciate it so much. Thanks for your time today. As you said, we could usefully spend another hour on all of this, and I hope we'll get a chance to do so soon. In the meantime, stay well, my friend. Keep up the great work. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.